The Tin Man Podcast is a proud partner with DashClip. DashClip specializes in crafting exceptional wallets that go beyond mere accessories. DashClip is not just a brand, it's a philosophy, a daily reminder to embrace life and make every moment count. Check them out today at the-clip.com. That's the-clip.com. This is a Tin Man Podcast, hosted by me, Chris Tinius. I'm a former college soccer coach and avid music fan. Many episodes will have a hand in one or both of those topics, but we'll also delve into entrepreneurship, leadership, and other subjects. Basically, this podcast is my way to reconnect with old friends, get new perspectives, and help others share their own stories, passions, and expertise. Now let's get started with the Tin Man Podcast. In 2015, Louisville City Football Club began its inaugural season in the USL, the second highest tier of men's soccer in the United States. In just under a decade, they have claimed multiple championships and built a 15,000-seat soccer-specific stadium. They've also seen their parent company, Soccer Holdings, Inc., add a second professional team in Racing Louisville of the NWSL, the top tier of women's soccer in this country. 2 years ago, the Lou City and Racing Foundation was started to give back to the community that has provided so much support for its teams. Executive Director Jeremy Jarvie and Program Director George Davis IV, an original Lou City star, were tasked with starting the foundation and getting its programming off the ground. They were gracious to spend a few minutes discussing some of their work and upcoming events. Here's our conversation. Okay, I am joined in this episode of the Tin Man Podcast by Jeremy Jarvie and George Davis IV from the Lou City and Racing Foundation. Gentlemen, thank you for sharing a bit of your time to chat with me.
Thank you for having us.
Yep. Yeah, so, you know, we want to share a little bit about the foundation, about the programming, some events that you guys have coming up. You know, there's a lot of good stuff happening there, but first, just want to get the listeners kind of introduced to the two of you. So Jeremy, we'll start with you. You're the executive director. I know you've got pretty extensive background in the business world and nonprofit experience. If I'm correct, you came to the foundation from the American Red Cross. So maybe just give us the Cliff's Notes version on your background and what kind of drew you to this position with the Lou City and Racing Foundation.
Sure. Well, thanks. I've been a Louisvillian my entire life, and so really just passionate about the city and helping folks. And I got into nonprofit world by accident, really. A close friend of mine passed away in 1997 by a really bad flood here in Louisville. And that was right before myself and four other close friends headed off to college. But from the start, we wanted to start raising money and helping young people in this community. And we did that, and we continue to do that through the Team Sean Foundation. So that got me into nonprofit, and right after college, I kind of continued that path, and have spent time with the a good amount of time with the American Red Cross, leading development for them. I was at Greater Louisville Inc., the Metro Chamber of Commerce, and then I got a call about this opportunity with the Lou City and Racing Foundation. And what interested me was it's a local entity. It's tied to sports. I'm a big sports guy. And it was an opportunity to be very entrepreneurial, right? To grow this foundation from the ground up. And we've done that. And as we sit here today, we are kind of celebrating our 2-year anniversary and all that we've accomplished. So it's been a good ride. And I'm excited to continue to do it with George.
Awesome. And so that leads us to George, and you are the program director, and a lot of people know you from your time playing with Lou City, but just in doing a little research, I mean, I know you're from the Dayton area. I've got a lot of cousins that either went to Alter or Centerville and kind of grew up in that area, and then obviously played at UK and then a storied career with Lou City. So kind of give us a little bit of your journey. And was it an easy, natural progression then to step into this role and stay with the organization? Or sometimes those things aren't quite as simple as they seem on the surface, but maybe give us a little bit of your journey and how you landed this role with the foundation.
Yeah, Chris, for sure. It's been quite the journey for me.
Did grow up in Ohio, Dayton area. Actually grew up a little bit north, excuse me, a city called Lima. So yeah, ended up in UK, and then, you know, was honestly gonna, you know, stop playing and move on into more business related fields. I was interested in finance. I was interested in law. And then I got an opportunity, to go on a trial, and with the Dayton Dutch Lions, and that led to a professional contract which led to, you know, 6 years later, I found myself in Louisville and played 6 years here and was able to play the game at a high level. And all the things that I was able to, excuse me, all the things I was able to get from sports and my experiences growing up in the game, I knew that when I finished playing that I would in some capacity do the same thing for young people. And so when the foundation and the ownership was talking about the foundation and talking about their charitable arm and how we engage with the community, as I was coming to the end of my playing career, it was a very natural fit for me to move over into the foundation, to help grow this thing and build the product, build the programs and services, that we could provide for the community so that kids can have access to the sport. I know that I wouldn't be the man I am today sitting here in this seat, if it wasn't for my experiences and the opportunities that I received, from playing soccer. So, you know, as the mission of the foundation to provide access to the sport and not just to get kids playing soccer, but all the values that come with it. So I was very passionate about that. And it's led to a lot of growth, not only with the foundation, but for myself. So easy. I would never say it was an easy transition. You know, me and Jeremy took on quite a lot and, you know, put this thing on our shoulders to try to make it as grand as we can and take that winning mentality into the foundation as the teams have had. So not easy, but definitely a nice transition for myself and smooth and been seamless in terms of my passion and work ethic.
Yeah. And you've seen the organization from about every perspective as a player, winning championships. I think some people may forget that you were actually an interim joint coach or manager of the team for a while. And now you're with the foundation. So maybe share, and Jeremy, maybe you want to start with this one, just kind of the origins of how this all got put together. You know, the mission of what you guys are doing, and then we can take the next step. And George, you can talk a little bit more about some of the programming that's going on right now.
Yeah, sure. I'll start. So it was always a vision of the organization to have this charitable arm. And, you know, so, you know, Louisville's such a give back community. And, you know, they, when they were bringing me on board, they said, we've got this guy, George Davis IV, you know, they tell me a little bit about him and we think he'll be perfect for the role. And so they're like, well, we want you to meet him, of course. And so I did. And very quickly I was like, you know, he is perfect for the role. So, you know, it's been just, in my eyes, a smooth transition to have George join and be able to be that person to lead the programmatic side. So I spend more of my time, you know, out being the face and doing the fundraising component. And George, you know, is out there with the kiddos and the youth and doing all the great things. You know, what's cool, and George kind of touched on it, is yes, we're teaching these kids, you know, soccer, and some, a small percentage are going to play in on the high school teams and then college and maybe even a few professionally, and that's great. But the much larger percentage of them, you know, they just want to learn the game, enjoy the game, be a part of a team. And so no matter which side of the spectrum that these kids are on, you know, at the end of the day, after we're done, you know, providing services and programming and the curriculum that we provide, we would just want everyone to be better humans and be able to love the game and be a good, you know, kind of productive person of society, right? And so just seeing that the smiles on the kids' faces, you know, some of these kids, that a lot of these kids that we work with have never had the opportunity to be a part of a sport before, and they're lacking that even within their school. And so this is just something that, you know, they get to learn all those intangibles that you learn through sport, and it's just really fun to watch.
Yeah. And so George, speak a little bit to that, of, you know, some of the stuff you guys have going on right now, some of the groups that you're working with.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of to touch back on the origin question, you know, the foundation, and something I feel very strongly about and have felt strongly about. Since I arrived at the club, it was obvious that, you know, Louisville City had a ton of support, that it was a very, as Jeremy mentioned,
a give back kind of community. And the more and longer we were here and the more success we had, you could see kind of the passion building for the club. And we went from kind of, I say, 0 to 100 in a very short time, right? Mm-hmm. We come in and, you know, with victory and with success, comes massive growth. But I always say that without the support of the community, without what the community, you know, stood on our, you know, supported us and allowed us to have some of these things that we see today in terms of, you know, the support for the stadium, the support for the facilities, support for our academy, and now even, you know, support to support two professional soccer teams, I think says a lot about the community that we live in. And with that, I think is a strong driver of why the foundation was created. And in a sense of that, okay, this community that supported us and has allowed us to grow so fast, now this is our opportunity to give back and serve those youth and serve those families and kind of build up not just generational fans and support for our club, but, you know, making better people, as Jeremy said, and at the root of everything that we do. So how we do that, right? That's been the fun part, is developing programs and services. And, you know, the first thing we tried to do was identify the partners and the community organizations and entities that are already trying to do the work that we want to do. So we really lean on our community partners, and, you know, team up with them to serve their youth. For example, Wesley House or a community center, or, you know, Boys and Girls Club, or, you know, a KRM. They have allotments of youth that they serve, that they work with in a number of different capacities, whether it's education, whether it's family support. And so we come in and provide our services from a program side to give them that physical component, to give them that soccer piece. What we find is a lot of the kids we run into already have a passion for the sport. They already want to play. So now it's our opportunity to come in and use soccer as a way to identify and connect with them, and then give them some of the other tools and resources that will help them in other parts of their life, whether that's in the classroom, whether that's at home, or whether that's in a work-related field, or, you know, getting ready for secondary education or career readiness. So we're learning a lot about ourselves and how we want to serve. You know, we're serving, you know, youth from 8 years old all the way up to 18, and even young adults in some capacity. So it could be programs, which we do on and off the pitch program, is our 10-week program. We will go into a partner or a school, and we'll give them a 1-hour training session, essentially, once a week for a 10-week period. Each one of those days is highlighted by one of our values. So our pitch model, you know, personal accountability, intellectual engagement, trust, commitment, and humility. We use those words to highlight the skill of the day, or the technical skill, or the soccer piece, to let them know that these skills can translate into any field. We do clinics where we partner with a number of different groups, some, you know, city events, some community partners, and we do a 1-day clinic. You know, that's come in the form. We partnered with, you know, Jalen Howe has a strong passion, you know, to help the DSL community. So that was a clinic that we've done in relationship with World Fest and the International Affairs of Metro Louisville. We've done a clinic. So constantly trying to find ways to where we can provide an opportunity for kids to play soccer. And we're still growing. I would say the thing I'm most proud of is the West Louisville Soccer Initiative and our partnership with JCPS and Parks and Recreation. Last year, we had about 250 kids playing, and we had 17 teams representing 11 different elementary schools in west and southwest of Louisville. This year, we have 30 teams representing 28 schools. Yeah, and those kids, those schools are all represented by Southwest Louisville, West Louisville, and now we have a couple schools in Jefferson, in J-Town. So that's been really cool to see the growth of that. As I said, we lean on our partners, Parks and Recreation. JCPS has been fantastic to work with. The West Louisville Soccer Initiative, which has now become the West Louisville Soccer Club, with Judge Brian Edwards and Marcus Harris and all the good people that support us there. So it's really, really cool to see things growing, to see things being developed. And things that are going to be sustainable over time, and things that hopefully we can look down the road and say, wow, look at the impact that we've been able to make.
Yeah, and that access is so important, because I just like that you guys as a club are building all the way through. There's lots of cities that have a team, right? And they might even have their academies, you know, with the youth teams that are traveling around and playing. But I think for better or for worse, probably more for worse, to be honest with you, in America, a lot of the soccer stuff is pay for play. And I think a lot of, you know, a lot of good talent and a lot of good kids get missed. And even if they're not the most talented, just a lot of kids that would enjoy the game don't ever end up getting access to it. I remember.
Well, and Chris.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, to your point, you know, that's one thing that we do with the dollars that we raise is provide scholarships. So, you know, it's not cheap to be able to participate in club soccer. And we have about 1,700 kids that are currently participating as part of our club. And, you know, we provide, last year we provided the foundation $100,000 in scholarships for kids that are good enough to participate, that receive an offer, but don't have the financial means to be able to do it. So, and that's, you know, the need is more than that. I think last year the need was well over 150,000. So we hope as a foundation someday, we're going to be able to say that we can meet 100% of the need.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, when I was coaching college soccer, when I was an assistant at Western Kentucky, with the women's program there, we took our team to Brazil, 1 year. And I'll never forget one of the games we played. We had to drive our tour bus around and pick up the young women that we were playing against. Because even in a country like that, you know, where they're soccer crazy and they have a great women's team, still the access on the women's side was so low that, you know, some of their parents didn't want them playing, or even if they didn't care that they were playing, weren't going to either be able to or didn't care enough to get them where they were going. And we drove the majority of our opponent to the game with us and took them back afterwards. And it's striking still in today's age how many people want access to the game and can struggle to get it. And you talk about that financial piece, which again, right or wrong, is what a lot of it can come down to at times. And so we'll kind of wrap up here talking about some of the events that you guys use as fundraisers. I know the soccer ball is one. Maybe we'll start with that and then we'll end with the one that's coming up, you know, a little more recently here.
Sure. The soccer ball will be heading into its third year this year. You know, we put it together in 4 months the first year. The board, the foundation board, and folks really wanted to have a signature event. And so we had lower expectations in the sense that we were putting it together for a brand new foundation in 4 months in the middle of the year. But we ended up having 900 people attend on a Wednesday evening. And I think we raised a little over $200,000 net. So it was a smashing success. And I always say, you know, events have their place, but they need to fit the culture of the organization. And so we make sure it's really high energy and you know, it's cocktail reception, cocktail attire, but wear your best favorite kicks or sneakers. And so people had a lot of fun with that. You know, we like to say we bring the whole family together. So both the first teams were there, the academy, the, of course, our corporate partners and the foundation and many other folks. And so it was really kind of cool to be there. We had a keynote speaker, a former player, and gave out some select awards. And it was a really nice evening. And then last year, we grew it to over 1,000 people. And I think we netted 260. So this year, it will be back again at the Gold House on September 25th, Wednesday evening again. And we're expecting even larger crowd and even more dollars raised.
Okay. And then I know coming up more in the short term, you've got a golf outing.
Yeah. So the organization had talked about doing before the foundation a golf outing for many years, a lot of golfers, even on the teams. And so now that we've kind of gotten our feet on the ground, we're going to have our inaugural golf outing for the organization with the proceeds benefiting the foundation. So it will take place on Monday, May 13th at Big Spring Country Club. And that is the Monday of PGA Championship Week here in Louisville. So there'll be a lot of buzz around golf at that time. And it's been really well received so far. There's still some foursomes available and some sponsorships. So hope folks hear this and want to join us. It should be a great day on the links.
Okay. George, how's your golf game?
Bad. You know, I would tell everybody my handicap, but then I feel like I'd have a lot of people coming after me to try to play me. So, but no, I love the game of golf. I'm really glad that the organization, the Soccer Holdings as a whole, and the foundation is going to be having this event. You know, golf is one of those sports that I like because it brings people together. You can play it no matter what your athletic ability is. Sometimes when you have too much athletic ability, it hurts you. So, no, it's good. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a great event. Our players, I was having players yesterday come up to me saying, "Hey, are we playing? Can I play? Can I play?" So the players will be present. The teams will be present. All the good folks that make this thing tick. And hopefully it'll be a beautiful day for us.
Right. And I'll make one suggestion for a future event. Might be a foot golf tournament and just put them both together.
Yeah, one of our good board members, Deshaun Johnson, he's executive director at First Tee, and we have a soccer foot golf site, I believe, at Bobby Nichols. So it's in the works. I like where your head's at, Chris.
Okay, all right. Glad we're on the same page. So, Jeremy George, thanks again for joining me. Anything else you want to kind of plug or get out there before we wrap up here?
Yeah, thanks for having us. I'll just say, you know, if folks want to get involved in, you know, whatever capacity that might be, even if it's, you know, we also, you know, distribute a lot of equipment, you know, very gently used or new equipment. And so if they want to get involved, volunteer, donating stuff, donating dollars, we'd love to have them. And, you know, it's the seasons are getting ready to start. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah, and I'll in the episode notes for anybody listening, scroll through the episode notes and we'll make sure we have some links in there, your website. We'll get the information about the golf outing and some ways to contact you guys and get involved and help out if people are interested.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Chris. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. Have a great day and good luck with the golf outing and as the seasons are getting going.
Sure.
You too. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks again to Jeremy and George for joining me and sharing some of the work they are doing through the Lou City and Racing Foundation, giving back to the community that has given so much support to their teams over the last decade. Be sure to check them out at loucityracingfoundation.org or check the episode notes to find the link and learn more about some of their upcoming events. Be sure to follow us or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. You can also follow on X and Instagram at 10manpod or check out our Facebook page. As always, I appreciate you listening, and we'll catch you on another episode of the 10 Man Podcast.